Testing, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. This is the Clipper video, Fair Trade for Clipper Tea. Hi, I'm Vanessa Kimball and I teach people to make the most ethical, sustainable bread possible. I specialise in sourdough bread, but my life isn't just about baking. I'm a food activist, a campaigner, and someone who really believes in ethical and sustainable causes like fair trade. I was recently lucky enough to join the team from Clipper Tea on a visit to some of the most breathtaking fair trade tea estates in the Nilgiri Mountains of southern India. This is where the British first introduced tea as a plantation crop at the turn of the 19th century. What I saw there was enough to convert even the most frugal or cynical shopper to buying fair trade tea. And in fact, fair trade products wherever possible. The truth is that those extra pennies that you spend buying fair trade tea goes a really long way, not just to improving the lives of workers, but also in producing a much higher quality product. And while I was there, I talked to Prem Walia. He's the man in the know. He and his staff manage the estates, and he told me how he sees it. One of the most incredible moments of the whole visit was meeting the workers' children at school. Their laughter, their bright eyes, their big smiles, and their enthusiasm is infectious. These children are directly benefiting from the fair trade premiums on Clipper Tea products. The estates, they're sprawling, they're luscious green estates. And one of the reasons that they enjoy this really high standard of education, which is directly funded by the fair trade, is because they also put school buses on so that they didn't have to walk to school. Many of the children that I spoke to go on to study at the local polytechnic, which is also funded by the Fair Trade Committee. In fact, I went on to meet the Fair Trade Committee on the estate, and I spent time talking with the Joint Fair Trade Committee members at the Burnside estate. Many of these women are just awe-inspiring. These are the people, these are the collective of workers who decide where those funds go and where they use and which parts of the education or the medical facilities should be invested in. They live there, they work there, they know what needs to be done. And one of the committee members very proudly told me that her daughter is soon to become a doctor. Meeting children as young as five that are planning for their futures and telling me with their big bright smiles that they want to teach or they want to be doctors and help people, or even one young boy whose lifelong dream is to become a stand-up comedian. Well, that's just amazing to see the people at the other side of the world whose lives are directly impacted by the choices that we make in the supermarket. Alongside the education, of course, is healthcare. That's crucial for the workforce who would otherwise be unable to afford to pay for hospital treatments in India. And there was one particular woman who I met, and it was probably one of the hardest interviews I've ever done. It was a personal story, and it was a personal story that I had to hold back tears while I was listening to her story, simply because her gratitude and her humbleness and her joy at what happened, it's just an amazing story. When visiting the plantations and meeting the workers and their families who are directly impacted by the differences that fair trade make, it was easy for me to see why we should be buying fair trade.
I already knew that we should be buying fair trade, but standing on the Welbeck estate that had been certified in 1994, you can see two generations of people that have been affected positively by the fair trade premiums. But it's not just the people. The tea garden is an organic garden now, and they decided not to use pesticides in the area. And that moment where I saw and stood there while a wild bison and his herd of females and calves walked through those tea gardens below me was just incredible. You can see, I've seen and heard the birdsong, the plants, the wildlife, but standing there and watching these wild bison wander through the tea estate was just the most amazing, incredible moment where I could see the effect of them being organic with my own eyes. Walking through these beautiful, lush, acid green, beautiful gardens, 7,500 feet above sea level. Walking through the beautiful gardens, 7,500 feet above sea level, listening to the birdsong and hearing this intense whispering and rustle of the tea pickers. They're selecting and harvesting their next batch of tea leaves. They deftly pick with their hands the most greenest, beautiful tips, the best ones for our tea. And I stood there listening to the ladies sing and chatter, and there was joy and happiness and beauty there. It's a magical place. It's a hard place to live, but it's a magical place. And I stood there and I thought, how could I persuade people just to buy fair trade tea automatically? If I could transport you just for a moment to that place to stand there and see the effect of fair trade and the premiums and how it has changed people's lives, you wouldn't hesitate to buy fair trade tea. It wouldn't even be a question. It would be an automatic thing. I can't bring everybody to India, but I can share a little bit of the sounds and the people that I met.